Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, December 29th, 2022. Tom, we're rounding out now 12 full years on the radio, so we'll have Lucky 13 will be launched for the show next week.
The show becomes a teenager.
That's right. The show becomes a teenager next week here on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And there's all sorts of wonderful shows that we've podcasted through the years. I'd say probably 90 to 95% of all of our shows are archived very conveniently for you on the website. We are broadcasting from the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, which is part of the Bustos Media Tucson broadcast complex here in Tucson, the Buckmaster Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. They sponsor when we do our telephone interviews. But our first half hour, we will begin the second part of our two-part discussion with Fulbright Scholar Albrecht Clausen, University Distinguished Professor. Dr. Clausen, Director of Outreach in the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona. He brings a broad range of research interest to the table, covering the history of medieval and early modern German and European literature and culture, really spanning about a 1,000-year period, ending in 1800. But he's also involved in contemporary literature, writing prose and poetry. He's published hundreds of scholarly articles and book citations, translations, textbooks, including a handbook of medieval studies. Oh my goodness, the honors. Let me name a few of them. Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions in recognition of outstanding services to German studies. He sits now on the five-member board of the directors of the Arizona Humanities. He's also editor-in-chief of the international online journal titled Humanities. His most recent books include Wisdom from the Middle Ages and The Secret in Medieval Literature, Alternative Worlds in the Middle Ages. Happy New Year to you, Dr. Clausen.
Thank you so much, Bill, for having me. It's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to see you as well. And this is the second part of our discussion. We'll be looking more in this discussion, looking ahead to the future. But speaking of looking ahead to the future, it's so common for people to make New Year's resolutions. I tried to do it a long time ago, and I finally decided, why do a New Year's resolution? Why not just try to resolve, Dr. Clausen, to lead a good life every day?
And we can do this so easily every day because I think all these big goals normally don't
work out.
I'm going
to lose 25 pounds.
No, just start doing more regular little things. Then you have a success. And in my work, my research, my teaching, I don't try suddenly to revolutionize the university. I'm trying to work with individual students one by one and make their life better. And that is really a good New Year's resolution and a timeless resolution.
Boy, I was looking through yesterday's New York Times, and I guess it could be pretty much every day's New York Times or every newspaper, but the news, my goodness, China, the COVID out of control, the war in Ukraine, and the atrocities continuing, and then on our own southern border, a humanitarian crisis, and on it goes. Bad, as they say, Dr. Clausen, bad news sells.
Yes, right. And history is written by the victors, and history is created on the basis of bad news. Can you imagine a history written about good yields of farms, good timing of airlines?
Every airline today arrived on, had flights that were all on time.
It would be boring.
People would go, no, I don't need to read that.
That's right. That's sensationalism. And it has always been the case. Medieval chronicles are filled with these horrendous stories because if it's not a tearing and traumatic thing, then it's boring. That's right.
The randomness of life.
Yeah. Well, I call it the contingency. And One major philosopher whom I really always like to teach and talk about, Boethius, wrote a treatise about happiness, and he faced death. He knew he was going to be killed in prison, although he was innocent. And so he wrote in 524 a treatise on the pursuit of happiness.
How could he focus on happiness when death was knocking at his door?
That is the fundamental question. That's what we do really in the humanities, opening the eyes of our students and people whoever wants to listen to the philosophical teachings. Because true happiness, as Boethius was saying, is not money, it's not power. Look at all these powerful and famous people. They're not happier than we are. They're rather more frustrated. And you cannot eat more than what you can eat.
You can't eat happiness. have a banquet laid out for you and eat it all three times a day.
No, you're getting sick. So happiness rests somewhere else. And that is what Boethius called self-sufficiency. So to be content with yourself, with your tiny little life, and a little moment in life where you realize you have kissed your wife or your friend, or you have done a good little deed, or you have saved something little, or you have picked up garbage. Picking up garbage can make you happy.
I did that on my street last night.
See? Just the little things. They don't cost you anything.
A couple of plastic bags attached to cactus were driving me nuts as I was out doing my walk.
That's right.
And I thought, I got to get rid of that and take it home and put it in the garbage. In the new book, The Secret in Medieval Literature, Alternative Worlds in the Middle Ages, you explore the many strange phenomena, both in the Middle Ages and today, that do not find any good rational explanations. What do you give us some examples?
The irony about my book is that I actually base it on the latest research in the sciences. Because in the sciences, we know the more we explore things, the less we know. The more we know about the space, for example, the outer space, the mm-hmm. more our physical laws don't work. Mm-hmm. Medical research is the same thing. So I draw from this and then take a look into medieval texts from all kinds of languages and analyze phenomena that happen in our lives. That's the same thing that you experience. Every day, there are strange things. Things disappear, or people show up, serendipity.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there are lots of things, and let's say in terms of love. Why do certain people suddenly fall in love? That is always discussed in medieval texts without really giving us an explanation, neither religious nor philosophical, but rather literary, because it's so intangible and yet so effective.
Like, there's no formula why someone finds someone else attractive to the point of falling in love.
Well, I can tell you that I know about it.
Okay.
I have fallen in love when I met my future wife, and I know exactly what it is and how I felt and how it worked through my whole entire body. Mm. But this is one of the major themes in medieval literature, and so sometimes I believe we can learn quite a bit about the essence of our own existence today by looking backwards into a distant mirror, which then hopefully will take us into the future.
I had no idea that was one of the a pillar of medieval literature.
Think about all the fable literature. Think about all the wonderful didactic texts, entertaining stories about the evil fox or the ignorant wolf or something like that. That was told over and over again and teaching people basic lessons. So medieval literature is an incredibly rich world panoply of lessons for us, just waiting for us to think about. War, death, love, God, spirituality, you name it. It's all there.
Storytelling must have been huge back then because people didn't have the TV, they didn't have their little devices. So stories would get passed down, right? And
they were passed down, and actually we're exploring more and more channels, let's say from Persian, Arabic literature to Hebrew and Latin than the vernaculars. So people listened a little bit more.
How about this whole issue of dictatorship and tyranny. You've been thinking a lot about that. Where do you pick up on that?
This is a project of a new book that I will write fairly soon. I just finished an article focusing on one particular text. And there is a discourse, very interesting, a discourse already since the 12th century on dictators and even tyrants. And beyond that, even the justification for tyrannicide. Can you imagine a medieval philosopher saying an evil king who turns into a tyrant deserves to be killed? That's so shocking for us in our world where we believe medieval kings were completely powerful, whereas I can observe this very poignant criticism, sharp attacks against evil people who transgress the laws, who kill, murder, rape, whatever. So this is the whole panoply of comments that I discover in these texts. So rulers are definitely not necessarily free of from criticism. They are there and exposed in their evilness.
Let's pick up on that after we take a break. Dr. Claussen with us, Dr. Albrecht Claussen from the University of Arizona, Fulbright Scholar. This portion of our program presented by our friends at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. A Danish Kringle would sure be nice on New Year's Eve morning or New Year's Day. I think if you've not tasted one, you're going to find they are absolutely delicious. Have you had the Kringle, Dr. Claussen?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, they're good.
They are good.
Oh, yes. I can affirm that.
Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Saturday, 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. More with Dr. Albrecht Claussen on the Buckmaster Show right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. This is our second part of our kind of what we're calling our holiday season discussion with Fulbright scholar Dr. Albrecht Clausen, University Distinguished Professor, Director of Outreach in the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona. His latest book, which we touched a little bit on in the first segment, The Secret in Medieval Literature, Alternative Worlds in the Middle Ages. So medieval stories, Dr. Clausen, do they prove to be timeless and even valuable messages for us today?
Well, every good literary text from antiquity to the present, East and West, carries messages. So I don't want to say the Middle Ages are the only period we should study. It's just my expertise, and I know that my students respond to those texts really well because they're kind of close to us, but at the same time, not that familiar. So there's an intrigue about it, which maybe finds its best expression in such major novels, modern novels, Lord of the Rings, or The Name of the Rose, or even Harry Potter. So the intrigue, the need for something secret in life, which people find particularly in the Middle Ages.
Our discussion now continues on the issue of dictatorship and tyranny. You were talking about those particular issues were certainly in the Middle Ages very apparent, but of course, today there's no shortage of that.
Right. And the surprising fact from a historical point of view is that throughout the entire Middle Ages, kings were elected, kings were
Impeached. I've never heard that before.
The German emperor was always elected. There were always seven electors. So there's a lot of shuffling and bribery, of course, but he was elected. So you have kings who were dethroned, were taken off their crown and their throne. You have rebellions of various groups who said enough is enough. Let's say the Vikings, the Frisians, and many other people. There was another book I published a year and a half ago. So there was a lot of sense of freedom and desire to be independent, contrary to our assumptions.
Did the Vikings have kings?
Well, the Vikings depends on where you are, Sweden, Norway, Iceland. So the Icelanders were mostly free, really completely free. They had their first parliament, if you will. They had a parliament. The thing, the old thing.
That might be one of Europe's first parliaments.
certainly. And if you think about the Swiss, just a little bit later, they also liberated themselves from the Habsburg, the German Empire, and established the first real democracy, if you will. So there are a lot of different movements. We should not fall into the trap of seeing that world in such binary pictures.
Let's talk a little bit about the future. Both of us agreed we're not into New Year's resolutions, but boy, oh boy, this year has been a tough one.
Well, I hear this from a lot of people. How bad this
year
was.
Yeah, how bad is it? I mean, it's...
I cannot...
But you were telling me before the show, Bill, you know, it's not all bad.
I mean,
did someone on your way to work today, Bill, you asked me, did you see someone... motion to let another person in at a stoplight or something. And I said, yes.
See?
But I didn't really think about it.
But once
and
we
I
start,
see it almost every day.
Exactly.
Somebody doing something good. But that doesn't stay with me.
But
that
kindness,
memory.
A random act of kindness, that is sort of, that would be my New Year resolution. I want to try every week, at least once a week, I want to do something good. Just be helpful. Be nice to a person, to the person's total surprise. A little smile. I mean, this is so incredible in terms of communication. A little smile. A stranger who doesn't know me and suddenly I smile at him. You know, we are in a country of immigrants. Mm-hmm. And I want these immigrants to know that they are welcome. I mean, in my neighborhood, I have all kinds of people living from all over the world. And I want them to know that I welcome them. And these are really acts of random acts of kindness.
Well, look at what's going on with the theocracy in Iran. And so many people, many women, really young people, are saying enough is enough. But you wonder if it's getting through.
Well,
getting
this
through to
is
the leaders.
A peeve topic for myself, because I'm kind of irritated about our American Western assumption that we can simply march into any country in the world, let's say Somalia, let's say Mali, let's say Afghanistan, and change that country by means of our military might without understanding their mentality. Let's take Afghanistan.
Yeah, I think they call that nation building. And it really, you know, we tried that, not so much in Korea, we didn't try it, but I'm thinking post-World War II. Yeah. Vietnam, that was one of the main pillars of our involvement, so-called let's change a nation.
What arrogance that is. I mean, we have wasted at least $4 trillion in Afghanistan for the last 20 years. What have we achieved? Nothing, absolutely nothing. It's actually going backwards. You cannot achieve with military might and nation building. Mentality and religion play huge roles. And if the people don't go along with you, you can have as many boots on the ground as you wish. That doesn't work.
What does change people's hearts, Dr. Albrecht Clausen?
Falling in love.
Okay.
That is one of the major forces that really changes people. It sounds silly, but that's really what medieval poets always talk about, and that's my personal experience. Love is the one force that changes your attitude, your character, your entire outlook of the world, your way of performing. Yeah. Religion, too, mm-hmm. if you're very religious, mm-hmm. that changes things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, spiritual transformation of yourself.
So, where are we at the end of 2022? You know, you're very much into humanities, and of course, human is the word that jumps out at people. It just seems like we're lacking so much humanity.
Well, we always have lacked the humanities. You always have had, throughout times, you had the Mongols, you had the witch craze, you had pogroms against Jews. So violence is just simply part of human nature, mm-hmm. unfortunately, because we have free will. We decide to do things. Animals don't have a free will. Mm-hmm. Hence, they're neither evil nor good. They're mm-hmm. just animals.
Yes. They're just existing. I love animals, but they do exist just in the now. All right, slip on your headset because we have a listener who would like to join in our conversation. And we're going to go to Mark. He has a question about Bavaria. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, ich bin halb Bayerisch, meine Großeltern kommen aus Bayern.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm half Bavarian. My grandparents and uncle actually came out of Bavaria in 1935. And so my grandparents never, ever claimed to be German. They were Bavarian. and you know, they really were not happy with what the Germans did, which means the Prussians did, to steal Bavaria from them. So when did Bavaria become really known as part of Germany?
You would be surprised. Already in the late 8th century, Charlemagne conquered Bavaria and incorporated Bavaria, the Kingdom of Bavaria, into his own Carolingian Empire. So that's a much earlier than, of course, you have throughout the 16th, 17th, and 18th century, Bavaria developing much more as an independent kingdom. But then Napoleon came in, and you have all kinds of things. But by 1871, Bavaria became part of the German Empire.
Mark, anything more about it? Sounds like Bavarians very much feel a real sense of pride in where they come from.
Well, yeah, and that and their own what do you call it? Controlling their own
destiny,
country.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, you
and,
have that.
Yeah.
You have that.
Where are you from, Dr. Clark?
I'm from the state of Northern Hesse. So
okay.
But take the example of Franconia, which is part of northern Bavaria,
right.
And that was stolen by Bavaria because they got it in 1806 from Napoleon.
Right.
So all that is a matter of
discussion. That's where my grandparents came from. Yeah.
Ah, so a very different story. That's Franconia in northern Bavaria.
All right. Thank you, Mark, for joining the conversation. So you're from Hesse. Is that where the word Hessian comes from?
Exactly. So actually,
Hessians were like mercenary fighters?
They were rented out.
I don't want to insult anybody here.
No. But they were rented out by the Hessian landgraves to the British for the Revolutionary War.
Yes.
It was very welcome opportunity for most Hessian soldiers, higher pay. Their families got more money. And for many, it was just finally a change of their life. They fought as mercenaries, but never as slaves.
No.
Many were taken prisoners. Some were then released, or most were released. Many stayed. Actually, I graduated from Virginia University, and where we had Hessians.
All right. Want to wish you and yours, Dr. Clausen, a very happy new year. Thank you for seeing and being with us, and we will join you in the new year. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and all the best for the new year.
Thank
be
you
happy.
Very much. All right, I'll be happy. We'll take a break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. on the campus of Bustos Media here in town. Green Things, in business for 52 years. They are open daily. Their 13-acre site is also home to Zocalo Village and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com are the websites. And there might be a few poinsettias still left. So you want to go by and have something really special for New Year's Eve? How about a poinsettia? All right. Let's go now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Troy Hutchison is with us. Troy is a staff writer at GoAZCats.com. Troy, how are you, sir?
Good. How about you?
Doing well. What kind of year was this for Arizona athletics, for, say, the three major sports, basketball, football, and baseball? Pretty good year, wasn't it, Troy?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it started off a little rough on the football end if you're going back to last season at the end, and it ended well for the Wildcats this year with a win over rival ASU and a pretty fun game, 38-35, a lot of turnovers, a really great football game. And then Arizona men's basketball just continues to roll. And baseball, you know, there's a lot of question marks with Chip Hale coming in as the new head coach. And he was able to get his team to Omaha, well, not Omaha, but the playoffs in the first year under his tutelage, and came close to getting to Omaha, but lost. And they had a pretty good year with some amazing players on the roster, like Daniel Susek.
Well, the football team ended, as you say, on a high point with that win over ASU. How would you characterize, what kind of grade, Troy, would you give Arizona football this year?
I had them 5-7, so they did exactly that. So I'd give them an A-. I think when you look at the kind of year they had before, 11-1 and totally revamping a roster, there's a lot of work that goes into that, not only on the field, but off the field in terms of chemistry, making sure guys are in the right position, developing players, and this coaching staff did that. And to come away one win short of a bowl game is pretty remarkable.
How is the recruiting going for Arizona football?
It's going very well. You know, right now at Rivals, they have the number 45 recruiting class in the country. So it is a drop off from last year's recruiting class, but this class was focused more on the line of scrimmage. You have 4 to 5 really good offensive linemen. You have defensive linemen in the class, linebackers as well. And those guys usually aren't rated as highly as your wide receivers, your running backs, your quarterbacks of the world. So it didn't finish well, but when you look at the pieces that they got, it's going to help them in the future, especially a guy like Raymond Polito, who's an four-star offensive lineman out of California that they were able to flip from Alabama to Tucson, which is crazy to think about, because I don't think there's ever been a time in Arizona's history where they were able to flip a highly rated recruit away from a program like Alabama.
How has this whole transfer portal changed college sports, Troy?
Well, you know, it's kind of made it similar to free agency. There's no accountability anymore with players. And, you know, you've heard coaches say that throughout the whole entire year. And last year when this thing really got ramped up, Dia said it in her press conference yesterday for women's basketball. You know, players just don't stay and work through being the backup anymore. And they just want instant gratification. So they go to another place that has that opportunity for them and they leave. And sometimes the grass isn't always greener, but with that comes the ability to rebuild your program faster. Arizona, although they had amazing recruiting classes the last couple years, at the end of the day, the reason why Arizona was able to go from 1 win to 5 wins was the additions of Jaden Delora, Hunter Eccles, and Jacob Cowing, all three of them via transfer. Huge impact players. Jaden Delora, they're going to have for 2+ years still to come. So you're able to get that, you know, quarterback that you can build around, and you didn't have to go and recruit them. I mean, you're recruiting them in the transfer portal, but he was ready to go. And that's huge for a program.
What are you predicting for Arizona football next year? You think they'll go to a bowl game? I sure hope so.
I think they will. I think they'll finish, and, you know, they still have some pieces to add this offseason. They're looking to get a couple more recruits and maybe even a few more transfers. So the roster shakeup isn't done yet. But as of right now, I'd say Arizona is a 6-7 win team. I do think they improve by a game or two. You look at the schedule, it's a little bit more favorable during the non-conference. I know you have NAU. I forget the other team on the list right now. But, yeah, Mississippi State on the road, that's the only true really tough game for the Wildcats. So if you could go 2-1 during non-conference, you set up well for a bowl game.
How about this Wildcat basketball team? Will they go deep in March?
Yeah, you know, I think this team is deeper than last year's team, but I think the star power was higher last year with Ben Mathrin. Anytime you lose a guy that is leading the Rookie of the Year candidate for the NBA, that's going to be a huge loss. But they're really good inside. They're well coached. This coaching staff knows how to develop players. So I think they could get to an Elite Eight depending upon the matchup. At the end of the day, that's what the NCAA tournament's about, is who you match up with. If they get a good draw, I think they could get to an Elite Eight. But I do think that that is their ceiling. I don't think this is a Final Four team, because at the end of the day for college hoops and really basketball in general, you're only as good as your best player. If you don't have a guy that you could say, give me the ball, we're down by five, get us back in the game, or give him the ball, and we're only up by three, put the game away. I don't know if they have that guy like they did last year with Ben, so I think that's a little bit of a difference, but overall, a deeper team.
How about emotional consistency, Troy? We saw them really get up for big games. They won the Maui tournament. They had the big game. They beat Tennessee. And then there was, what was the other big one, Tom?
Indiana.
Oh, Indiana. Okay. I watched the game, mm-hmm. So, but I was thinking of the Tennessee. So you had two big kind of TV, national TV games they get up for, but then they lose at Utah. I call that kind of emotional inconsistency, Troy.
Yeah, you know, and I think Kirk Creasa said it after the Indiana game, was that, you know, they just weren't interested in that game. You know, Utah was a game before that, and they got beat. Utah is a solid team that got hot at the three-point line, and they beat Arizona in the Hudson Center, which is a tough place to play. But, I mean, Creasa hinted to, you know, maybe the team didn't get up for that game, that they weren't very interested in that game. And I think that happens to teams all across the country, and in a course of a 31-32 game regular season, you're going to have that. It's good to get it out of your system now, but it's also good for Coach Tommy Lloyd. I think he actually likes it that it happened, because now he can point to that game and say, okay, you know, we've been slacking a little bit. Look at this Utah game. Remember that feeling. I think coaches love that. I know they wouldn't say that, you know, in a press conference, that they, you know, they want to get beat at least once or twice, but I think they really do enjoy it down deep inside.
All right. I agree with you on that one, Troy Hutchison, giving us a couple of interesting predictions. I think I agree with you saying about UA football bowl game next year. I think you said what, 6 or 7 wins? Was that your
mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you say the UA basketball program, maybe into the Elite Eight, not a Final Four team. And we don't want to neglect the women. What are you saying about the women's team?
You know, it's a team full of interesting characters, because you have a lot of underclassmen and a lot of veteran leadership. So, you know, she's had, I don't want to say a difficult time managing it, but it's definitely been a process. And she alluded to that during a press conference, and how she's had to change a little bit of her coaching and, you know, develop herself as a coach. I think it's a very talented team. I'm not sure how deep of a run they can make, but if they figure some things out, I think they'll be a team that could get to an Elite Eight at the highest. But I think this team ends its season in the Sweet 16.
All right, Troy Hutchison. Always a pleasure, Troy, having you on the program. Folks can look for your work at goazcats.com. Hope you have a happy new year, Troy.
You as well. Have a good day.
Thanks very much. Troy Hutchison with us. Coming up next, it's official. Arizona Attorney General-elect Chris Mays with us on the live line after the break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Make a great getaway. Our friends over there have been very loyal sponsors, and they hope everybody, all of our listeners, have a very happy new year. Find out more about things to do, places to stay, and great places to eat in Southwest New Mexico. The website, southwestnewmexico.org. It is official. Democrat Chris Mays defeated Republican Abe Hamadad by 280 votes after a mandatory recount triggered due to how close they were separated after the initial tally in November when Chris Mays led by about 500 votes out of 2.5 million cast. Let's go now on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management, to Chris Mays. Chris, congratulations.
Thank you, Bill. It's so good to be with you. You're my first interview after this happened.
There
so
you
this is obviously, we're excited, and I'm so glad to be with you. So Yeah, it's it was a squeaker, obviously a close one. I guess they're going to call me Landslide Mays. But
yeah, it's the closest.
We're happy about
the closest attorney general race, I think, in Arizona history for sure.
Definitely, it could be the closest statewide race on a percentage basis in the history of the state, and certainly it was close. But we're excited about it. I'm looking forward to rolling up my sleeves and getting to work as the lawyer for the people of Arizona, the people's lawyer, and for everyone in Arizona, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent. So we have a lot of work to do. And we're looking forward to getting started next week.
Well, I've known you 25, maybe even 30 years, Chris, and I know that you are one that will very much be hitting the ground running, as they say. I'm going to begin, actually, with an issue that was in the New York Times, and I think the last time we spoke, you actually brought this up. This is about water. Natalie Koch, a professor at Syracuse University in the Department of Geography, and she had an op-ed piece in today's New York Times. I guess she's got a forthcoming book coming out titled And Empire, The Entangled Fables of Arizona and Arabia. This goes back to almost giving away Arizona water to Saudi Arabia's largest dairy company. I know this is going to be on your radar. I would think this might be kind of pushed closer to the front burner.
Yeah, it's always been on my front burner, Bill. And we did talk about this the last time I was on your show. It's just an outrage that our state government under the current Governor Ducey and the current Attorney General have allowed a Saudi-owned corporation to come into Arizona, Western Arizona. This is in La Paz County. Frankly, one of the driest parts of the world, and plunk a straw into the ground and pump our water and grow alfalfa for Saudi cows back in Saudi Arabia. I mean, it sounds absurd,
yeah.
And it is absurd. And you know, our state land department has literally allowed this to happen. And what I believe, as the new attorney general, and I believe this when I was running for attorney general and said it, is that is an unconstitutional giveaway of something of value to the state of Arizona. And under the Arizona Constitution's gift clause, the state is not allowed to give anything of value away to a private entity, let alone a private entity that's based in a country that hasn't exactly been our friend lately. So, we're gonna obviously do everything we can to put an end to that arrangement. I think it's unconstitutional. I will let the land department know that I believe it's unconstitutional. And I think that, Governor Hobbs, when Governor-elect Hobbs also spoke out about this as well. So I anticipate some action on that right away. I think the people of Arizona are outraged about this. I'm not surprised that somebody actually wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
Because it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it's now on the national radar screen, and good luck with it, and I hope you move quickly on it. What else is on the agenda, and what's the transition like when you go? I mean, what will the transition look like going from one Brnovich to you now?
Yeah, it's going to be very different. I think the people of Arizona spoke, and I'm going to have a very different approach to being attorney general. My approach, I think, number one, we need to put an end to the politics that has, been at the center of the AG's office in recent years. We're going to get back to doing the core business of the AG's office, which is protecting Arizonans against consumer fraud, prosecuting consumer fraud, prosecuting elder abuse, protecting our most vulnerable Arizonans, whether it's our elderly or our children. We have a division inside the AG's office that the current attorney general has allowed to languish, I think, in many ways, called the Child and Family Protective Division. that division has now something like a 50% vacancy rate in the lawyers. We need to fix that immediately. These are the lawyers that protect Arizona families and children. We also need to protect our water supplies, as we just talked about, and really go after and prosecute, and deal with our fentanyl crisis in Arizona. And that's something that the AG's office can have an impact on, working with county attorneys all across Arizona. So there's a lot of work to be done, but it's really exciting to be in a position to help the people of the state of Arizona and for Arizona to finally have a lawyer for the people, someone who's looking out for them.
You know, this fentanyl crisis is just that. It is a crisis. We've had both the police chief and the sheriff here of Pima County on the show recently. And this is something that is a cheap drug. I mean, it seems like it's everywhere. How do you even begin to put a dent into this problem, Chris Mays?
You know, it's a great question, and it is certainly not going to be easy. As you point out, we certainly don't want to suggest it's going to be easy. But there's a lot that we could be doing that we're not doing as a state. We're sitting on a $5 billion surplus, perhaps a little bit less than that now. But we're sitting on a large surplus as a state. And we really have not utilized it to tackle this problem. And we need to tackle it not only from a prosecutorial standpoint and prosecuting the drug runners and prosecuting the cartels that are bringing it into Arizona, largely both through the ports. We need the federal government to step up and modernize those ports. But if the state can do anything to help with that, I think we should. It's also coming in through the air from other countries, and so we need to address that issue. But you know, we also have to deal with it from an addiction standpoint, and help folks who are addicted to it. But that also costs. There's a financial cost to this, and so as a state, we have to invest in these issues and invest in tackling these problems. And I do not think that we have had that in the last 4 years and had that leadership. I think you will see that with Governor Hobbs, and you will certainly see that with me as Attorney General.
It is going to be a very interesting legislative session, to say the least. You've got the top three elected officials as Democrats, the legislature predominantly Republican still. So there's going to have to be compromise, I think, on both sides, something we haven't seen since going back to Janet Napolitano. And, of course, you worked with Janet. So this is going to be an interesting session.
Yeah, and I, as Bill, as you know, I used to be a Republican myself. So
yep.
I absolutely. So when I was a corporation commissioner, I served two terms as a Republican. I think it is time for us to work together. I think the people of Arizona expect that out of us, and they want solutions. They want solutions oriented government. They don't want government that's aimed at politics. They don't want an AG or a governor who's sole purpose is to get themselves on Fox News or MSNBC, for that matter. They don't want cable news government. They want government that solves problems. And, you know, and so that will be my aim, whether it's dealing with our water supply issue, whether it's tackling fentanyl, whether it's protecting our elderly from abuse, whether it is protecting our elections officials from death threats. You know, that's going to be something that I do.
All right. The first interview with making it official, Attorney General-elect Chris Mays, first interview since it was made official, announced by a judge this morning. Thanks, Chris. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be with you.
All right. That'll do it for Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a great day.